First of all, you have a new wide receivers coach. How come?
Well, listen, I think those questions best handled by Coach Peterson and his staff, and I'm here to talk about the Senior Bowl and anything that goes along with that.
Was that completely his decision, though, to change that spot?
Yes. He decides who the coaches are. He's in charge of the staff, and that's how we roll.
This team's invested a lot of resources, I should say draft resources, in the wide receiver position in recent years. Does that provide is that something that makes you want to go into free agency looking for more of a proven option given the uncertainty of that position in the draft?
I think that hypothetical depends on the options in free agency in the draft. And when you make decisions in free agency, a lot goes into it. A lot goes into how many resources you're putting into each decision. What are the other opportunities out there in putting the draft and free agency together?
Howie, there was a report also that you guys blocked Flip. What went into that thinking, and is he okay with it?
Again, I think it's just to be consistent. Any questions that have to resolve around the coaching or the coaching staff should go through our head coach.
So that was Doug's decision to block.
Besides who's on the staff.
Okay. Howie, when you look at this draft process, I mean, some people focus on measurables. How do you weigh the measurables against just drafting a guy that's just a football player?
Yeah, I think for us, the first job the scouts have is to make sure they get the right background information on guys and that we know guys really well. And then the second part of that is what their tape looks like and what their film looks like. And then as we go through this process and get some of the numbers that come back from the combine, the easiest decisions to make are when kind of that objective meets the subjective and you have really good decisions. But there are cases where there are no measurables that determine guys' heart and their passion for the game. And we're looking for guys like that. We're looking for guys who bring that determination and that heart. And when the measurables also add up, you're really excited about it.
What's a quarterback have to do on and off the field during the Senior Bowl process to impress a team?
Well, I think it's the totality of the circumstances there. You know, you get to see guys' lives a lot of times for the first time and seeing the ball come out of guys' hands and how they look when you're out on field level. It's different than when you're watching them on tape. And so that's a big part of the process. And then the leadership ability and the intangible package, getting them in a room and getting to know them and getting them to recite kind of their offense and their values going forward. And we did that whole process here with Carson last year, and that was really the start of the process to try to move up was here in Mobile.
How impressive was he last year during this time?
Well, I think the first thing was the physical ability and just seeing the ball come out of his hand and the size and the athleticism and then the leadership. You know, he had juice with his teammates inside and outside the huddle and just people who were on the field talking to them and getting their insight about him. And then when we met with him in the hotel, he had a photographic memory. I mean, he was just able to really talk about his offense in a way that was unique, and then he had a presence about him. But the interesting part of it was we left the interview and he reminded us of Brent Celek, you know, kind of the Midwestern roots and a tough guy persona. So it was kind of interesting as we all got out of here and said, you know who this guy reminds you of? He kind of reminds you of a guy like that, which is a huge compliment.
It's Jeffrey's second straight year here in Mobile. What's his role in the draft process?
You know, it's our responsibility here to make these decisions. He just loves being around football. He loves being around the people in his organization. He has a good time. He gets energy from it. You know, it's a kind of a dead time of year where there's not a lot going on for all of us, where you don't see action, where you don't get a practice, and it's a beautiful day, and it was kind of a why not situation here.
Is he providing input?
No, he's asking questions, and when we sit with him and talk to him, it's just about, hey, this guy, or, Joe saw this guy, and this is the first time we're looking at him, and that's one of the reasons I'm on the field, really, just to get some sunshine. It's been a little rainy in Philly, so.
Howie, you guys have brought all the assistants down here before, just the coordinators. Is that a change in philosophy in terms of personnel?
Yeah, we talked to Coach about it, and we asked him, and he said that they had a lot of work to do as coaches on the scheme, and that they would have a lot of time to catch up as we kind of narrow the process down. And so we brought the head coach and the coordinators down here, and the coaches seemed good with it too. You know, as you guys know, it's not the easiest trip to get down here, so that's why we made that decision.
Last year, Doug was still implementing his scheme and kind of becoming that head coach. Is he more involved now in the pre-draft process than he was a year ago?
Well, everything's fast-forwarded because last year he got hired, and then he was hiring his coaching staff, and I think he came down here and he was still interviewing coaches when he was down here. So now we're at a point where we have that stability and we're able to kind of talk about what fits best for our coaches and our coaching staff. And ideally, when we make decisions, we're trying to find guys that fit the Philadelphia Eagles.
Speaking of Carson, as we were a minute ago, you talked on the radio the other day about the importance of putting pieces around him and the focus on that. Are you in contact with him on things like that? Do you have a general sense of what his preferences are in that regard?
Yeah, it's a dead period now with us and our players. So what I was saying on the radio was basically, you know, in an ideal world, it would be great to take a quarterback out to work out skill position guys and see the timing that they have with them. We met with him the day after the season. And we talked to him. We talked to him a little bit about our team and about us going forward and some of the things we were looking at. But some of the things right now, you know, we don't know about because we're not allowed to talk football with him. So actually someone here reported something about where he was going. There you go, Jeff McClain. And that was the first time we had heard about it. And saw his agent last night and asked him about it. So we don't have contact with any of our players that is football related. You know, if something's going on with their family, we're allowed to talk to them. But otherwise, code of silence.
Now, you've been coming here for years. In 2010 was your first as GM, and you end up taking Brandon, who had a really strong week. What are some of the lessons you've learned coming here now versus then?
Yeah, you know what happened? I think we all got snookered because now we have Jim Schwartz on our staff, and he was coaching that team, and apparently he was in a non-monetary pool of who's going to be the MVP of the game, and he picked Brandon Graham, so he wanted to win the pool, so maybe he put him in that position himself, you know, kind of affected the outcome. But what was the question? I was really
just like, what have you learned about coming here as opposed to when you first became a GM? And you know, now, obviously, 7 years later, eight years later.
I think that when I first would come here, there was such a big pool to look at, and you try to see everything. And now it's focusing on specific things so you can have some takeaways as opposed to kind of coming out of here and say, I just saw a lot, but I don't really have any takeaways to come out with. I think that's a big part of it. I think the second part of it is just getting the opportunity to meet these guys. It's a chance that doesn't count towards your 60, doesn't count towards your 30, to get to know these guys. And, you know, one of the things that Joe's brought here is the same philosophy that we've tried to have, is knowing these guys as well as we can, knowing them off the field as well as on the field.
When your positional needs line up with the strengths of the draft, does that make it more likely for you to try to want to trade back and acquire more picks?
Well, again, I think that when we look back and look at our drafts and, you know, specifically looking at where we were in the 20s, you know, well, we've had some good success 20 and higher. And I think that there is a line where you don't get a difference maker. And this is your opportunity in the first round of the draft to find a difference-making player. And that's our first priority, is bringing a difference maker to the Philadelphia Eagles. So by trading back and getting extra picks but not having someone who can affect the game, I mean, you're watching the games, you're watching these championship games, and you're seeing that there are difference makers making big plays in these games. And so we got to make sure that we come out of that. If there's an opportunity to get that and get an extra pick, that would be great.
Last year that line was around, like, I think you said it was around top 10. That's why you said anyway. At the time that you moved from 13 to 8, obviously you wanted to get to 1 or 2. But where's that line this year?
Yeah, we wanted to get to 1 or 2 last year. You know, everything I said was nonsensical, right? I used that word twice this week. But we were trying to get to 1 or 2 and trying to get a quarterback. I mean, that was ours. But I think the better example is, you know, the 2014 draft, where we did have a line drawn kind of there. And, you know, I think one of the lessons I learned from that year is you're not trying to win the draft. You know, you're just trying to get good players to fit the Philadelphia Eagles.
Howie, what was I going to ask?
Wow.
Totally went blank.
Lost for words.
I know what I was going
to
ask.
I'd like the moment to show Jeff McClain has nothing to say.
How much?
Can I drop the mic now? It's a beautiful thing.
How much will your cap situation? How much will your cap situation affect veterans that are kind of teetering on the line of whether you bring them back or not?
Well, we've been going over our cap situation, you know, throughout the course of the year and certainly throughout the off season as we sit here. So I guess for us, none of these conversations are new internally, and we've had them. At the same time, you know, it's our job to make tough decisions and make sure they're not emotional, but they're the best for the Philadelphia Eagles going forward.
If you look at Kelce, how did you evaluate the way he played this year, and what's your confidence level that he can still be a Pro Bowl caliber center for you?
Well, I think you hit it right there. I mean, he's going to the Pro Bowl. His peers had him as a second-team alternate, and that shows you the kind of respect he's had in this league. He's turned 29 years old, so we're not talking about a guy, you know, who's 35 or 36 or, you know, older than that. You see his ability to play in space, his explosiveness. I mean, ultimate team guy. So, you know, I don't think that when you put on the tape, you see any decline in play from Jason Kelce.
What do you think of him being back next year?
Well, I think we'd like to have every single person back on our team, but we just talked about a guy who made the Pro Bowl, you know. So, I mean, those are good situations for the Philadelphia Eagles to have Pro Bowl players, but it's hard to go into each individual player, and I'm not saying this as it relates to Kelce, but if I start answering questions on Jason Kelce, that opens the door to five or six other guys, and I don't think that's fair to anyone on our team.
What are the decisions of strength in this draft?
You know, I think that the skill position guys are really strong. I mean, coming down here and seeing the tight end group and the skill set that they possess, I mean, it's unique to have this group of tight ends. And then obviously the running backs and the wide receiver group continues to get better as you get the underclassmen list and see that group as well. And then the DBs, you know, it's a really strong group of DBs. So I think when you look at that, it's exciting, and we're getting into the process, and it's a fun time of year for us to try to add to the football team.
When you have those strengths at certain positions, how much does it affect the way you draft, knowing that maybe, you know, a position that you might want will be there later than they normally would be?
You know, it's interesting, Dave, because last year we sat there and we said defense tackles in this draft are unreal. You know, you're going to get an opportunity. You're going to be there in the fourth or fifth round, and there's going to be a second or third round guy. And what happened is they all went. And we had looked at it before, and in years where there's positions of strength where you think you can get guys later, what typically happens is there's a run on those guys, and guys want to get their own guys. So you just have to be careful that you're not sitting there and going, hey, this is a great draft at position X, and we'll be sitting there in the sixth round, and we'll get a great guy. And I think that's why just sticking to your board and not getting cute and making sure you get the right players for the Philadelphia Eagles is so important.
If you talk about the strength of the draft, if you think about 2 years ago, Nelson and DGB would have been considered part of the strength of that wide receiver class, and you've seen the way development can be different for different players. What's the trick or the challenge with the wide receiver position that makes it such a variable?
Well, I think the first part of that question about player development, you know, it's something that we've spent a lot of time on and we've had a lot of discussions about, because it's unique in the National Football League compared to other sports. And being able to talk to people in other sports and get some of their perspectives. And then you talk about the wide receiver position and the way offenses are in college football and the way that defenses are run. I mean, there's not a lot of press coverage. It's a matchup-driven league in college football. And so, you know, typically, if your best receiver is on their third best corner, that third corner is probably not playing in the National Football League. So the quality competition matters for the receivers. And the different coverages, the routes, the quality of competition, it's a whole different ballgame in the National Football League. And I think if you take out the 2014 wide receiver class and you look at this, and knowing Zach, he'll do this right after I say this, which I appreciate, it's really been historically a tough position to acclimate in the National Football League. It hasn't been a plug-and-play position. And I think that class changed everyone's thoughts a little bit. But the reality is we have years of data that say that it's a hard position to come in the National Football League and contribute at, that it's a developmental position. And you got to look at that as when you're drafting guys in that perspective.